Well, welcome back. This is module 4 of Updating Your Database Management Skills to SQL Server 2014. I'm Pete Harris.
And I'm still Graham Malcolm.
Excellent.
Yeah, despite the data quality services.
What are we talking about in module 4, Graham?
We're on always on high availability. Mm-hmm. So a subject close to the heart of anyone who's looking after database servers is how to keep them up and running and make sure that they're available for business operations. So we're going to look at several things. We're going to talk about always-on technologies. Always-on is kind of the umbrella term for the high-availability technologies in SQL Server. So we'll talk about the various different technologies that are around and how they've changed since the SQL Server 2008 timeframe. We'll talk a little bit about always-on failover cluster instances. But the main focus of what we're going to address is always-on availability groups, because that's a brand new way in SQL Server 2012 that was introduced as a brand new way of providing high availability. And if you're coming from a SQL Server 2008 background, then it will be completely new to you. So stay tuned for that. So let's talk a little bit about the kind of higher level options that we have for always on availability. There are a number of options in SQL Server. There's log shipping, which we've had since as long as I can remember with SQL Server, where we can provide a way of keeping a database available by having a standby server where we just effectively replay the transaction log on the standby server so that we can switch over to that server should the primary fail. But really in most enterprise environments, log shipping's used, but it's not normally a primary kind of approach for high availability. Typically, we're talking about clustering or mirroring if you come from a SQL Server 2008 background, or this new technology in 2012, always on availability groups. So let me just talk about the two main technologies in SQL Server 2014. There is the notion of a failover cluster, where you're providing server-level protection. So actually, at the instance level, the entire instance can fail over in the event of a failure. And then also always-on availability groups, which provides protection at the database level. And you could add multiple databases to an availability group and get protection, get failover in the event of a failure at the database level. So these two technologies are the kind of core high availability technologies, and you can combine the two. You can actually have clusters with always-on availability groups configured as well. So you can kind of combine the two to get whatever the level of availability you need is. All right, so let's talk about always-on failover cluster instances. We're not going to spend a lot of time on this because clustering has been around for a while, and most database administrators are used to the idea of a SQL Server instance being installed as a clustered instance. It provides obviously high availability at the instance level. So we've got typically in a cluster several nodes, usually a minimum of two really, but you know, usually much more than that in the way of cluster nodes. And if one of those servers fails, we've got a shared disk where the database is stored. There's some redundancy in that disk storage, and another node just takes over. So we get that seamless failover across from the instance where something's gone wrong to something else that takes over that role. So if you're used to using clustering, in this the latest releases of SQL Server, there have been some incremental enhancements to clustering. There's some really nice stuff like improved monitoring for the health of the cluster, improved flexibility as to how you handle failover, things like cluster-aware updates. So if you want to update all the nodes in a cluster, Windows Server supports cluster-aware updating so that we're not taking server nodes down while we apply patches and so on. And there's support for multi-subnet clusters now. So if you want to have a cluster that consists of nodes in one subnet of your network and other nodes in another, it was previously possible to configure that, but it's much, much easier to do that now in SQL Server 2014 with Windows Server 2012 R2. There's support for something called cluster shared volumes, which is a new storage support in Windows Server 2012 R2 as well. So there's some pretty good stuff that we can do there in terms of managing a failover cluster that have incrementally improved that experience over the years. But really what we want to focus on in this module is a technology called Always On Availability Groups. And it was introduced in SQL Server 2012 as a replacement for database mirroring, which has been deprecated. So if you're using database mirroring in SQL Server 2008, it's still there, it's still in the product, it's still a perfectly viable way to provide a solution for your existing servers, your existing databases, but it has been deprecated as a technology, and the replacement for it is always on availability groups. So it's probably worth, if you're looking at some new instances of SQL Server that you want to apply availability for, then you probably want to look at availability groups rather than database mirroring. So what's the difference between this and mirroring? Well, really what we've done with availability groups is we've got the best of both worlds from clustering and mirroring. So we get that ability to protect at the database level that we get from database mirroring, and we get the use of commodity hardware. We don't have to buy particularly expensive hardware to do this. We just have multiple SQL servers configured. But that's built on top of Windows clustering. So Windows Server clustering provides the mechanism for ensuring that we get automatic failover and ensuring that the server cluster is up and running and all the nodes are operating together. So we're building on a pretty rock-solid foundation of clustering in Windows that's been there for a while, and we've got a really good clustering solution in Windows. And then on top of that, we're building something similar to database mirroring, where we're effectively replaying transactions across multiple servers so that we've got redundant backups of databases on different machines. So the notion is that we have a primary replica, we call this, that has the primary replica of each database that's included. And the databases are then replicated across to secondary replicas. So from that perspective, it's very similar to database mirroring. And it really a kind of enhanced form of log shipping. It's a much more automated, a much more intuitive way to do that. But there are some differences. One thing is that the secondary replicas can be readable. So I can actually have a primary replica that I do all my writing to, and then synchronously I'm updating some secondary replicas that can be used for reporting. So I'm offloading some of the workload from the primary server. Secondly, I've got this option of synchronous and asynchronous replication across between these machines, these nodes. So I could replicate synchronously to something that's a secondary reporting server, and asynchronously perhaps to a SQL Server that's installed in a virtual machine in Windows Azure. So I'm actually able to have cloud-based members of my cluster. I need to configure my virtual networking to support the cluster, but I'm then able to replicate asynchronously to a virtual machine in Windows Azure, and get that ability of failing over, even if the entire site goes, if there's a natural disaster that takes down my premises, I've still got a replica of the data in the cloud in a virtual machine up there. So there's some pretty clever stuff. It uses this notion of a listener. So if you're used to clustering, you'll be used to the idea of a virtual network name that is effectively the endpoint for the whole cluster. So each individual machine is connected to the network, but there's a single IP address and endpoint that they share that's used to refer to the cluster as a whole. It's the same idea with an availability group. We have this listener, and that acts as a central endpoint that the clients connect to. And then depending on which one is currently the active primary node, the requests get routed to the appropriate server. So let's actually see how we go about configuring one of these things and getting it up and running and see how it behaves. So I'm going to switch to my demo machine. And I'm on my SQL Server machine. This is actually a member of a cluster. So I'm going to have a look at the cluster configuration first of all, just to show that. And if I go to the Failover Cluster Manager administration tool, here's Failover Cluster Manager, and here's my cluster, Mia cluster. And I can see that, well, it all seems to be up and running. There are three nodes, and if I actually have a look at those nodes, I can see this cluster consists of three machines, Mia Cluster 1, Mia Cluster 2, and Mia Cluster 3, and they're all currently showing as being up. So my cluster is up and running. I've got multiple nodes within there. I'm ready to start using this cluster to support an always-on availability group. Now, one of the key things about an always-on availability group compared to, say, a failover cluster is that I don't require any shared storage for this. There is no shared storage location for the database. Each node maintains its own copy of the database, and we are replicating the transactions across all the different nodes. So if I expand storage here, I don't actually have any shared disks or shared storage pools in here. Everything is just simply used by those nodes relying on their own storage. So that's the major difference between this and failover clustering. Okay, so far so good. There's one other piece of configuration I need to worry about. I need to go and have a look at my SQL Server Configuration Manager. So I'll just start that. There it is, SQL Server Configuration Manager. And we'll allow that to run and make changes. And that'll just take a second or two to start. There it is there. And if I have a look at the SQL services on this particular node that I'm running on, I've got an instance of SQL Server. Now, that is not a clustered install. It's not a clustered instance. It's a standalone instance of SQL Server. And each of the machines in my cluster has its own standalone instance. And if I go and have a look at the properties of this and have a look at the always-on high availability option here, I can see that this is a member of a Windows failover cluster, and I've enabled always-on availability groups. So I need to just check that box and make sure that we're supporting that technology with this instance of SQL Server. So I've got three other nodes in the cluster all configured exactly the same. They all have exactly the same setup that's there. So let's go ahead and start preparing a database for use in this environment. I'm going to use a SQL Server Management Studio, and we'll just go and connect to the local instance of SQL Server on this machine. Just wait for that to start. And there we go. So I'll connect to Mia Clust 1. That's the machine that I'm currently logged into. And I can see on here that I have a database called Sales. So this is the database that I'm concerned about making available across all these various machines. So the first thing I need to do is I need to make a backup of this database. And that's how we're going to initialize all of the different members of the cluster. We'll restore that backup across them. So let's go and back that up. Just choose the backup option. And I'll remove the existing destination and just add a new one. And I'm going to put it in a folder on my D drive called Data Share. And that's a folder where I've already actually shared that folder out on the network. So it's a network share that folder. And we'll just call it sales.back. So we'll go ahead and we'll perform that backup. So that's now ready to be used in an availability group. So that's all my preparation done. I'm now ready to go and set up the always-on availability group. And you can see in my Object Explorer here, I've got always-on high availability and availability groups, and I don't currently have any. So let's go and create one. And there's a handy wizard that I can use to do this. So let's use the handy wizard. And the first thing I need is a name for the availability group, something just to refer to it across all of the other availability groups that I might have. So I'm going to call it Mia SQL AG. This is a fairly simple name to keep track of. And what databases do I want to include? Now, the main difference between this and mirroring is I don't have to set it up for each individual database. If I had multiple databases that I wanted to include, I just select them all at this point. I've only got the one database in this case, it's Sales. And you'll note that it says it meets prerequisites. And effectively what that's saying is, look, this is ready to be done. It's been backed up. It's in either bulk load or full recovery mode. So it meets all the criteria that's required for this to work in an availability group. So we're ready to go. Okay, so we accept that Mia Clust 1, this node that the database is currently on, is going to be one of the replicas. And in fact, that's initially going to be the primary replica. But what I now want to do is to add some secondary replicas as well. So let's go and add a replica. And I'm going to add Mia SQL Clust 2. We'll just connect to that. And that's now been connected as a secondary. And we'll go and add a third one of Mia Clust 3. And I just want to point out as we do this, there's also the option to add an Azure replica. So if I've got a virtual machine running in Windows Azure that has a SQL Server installed on it, I can easily add that in from the wizard as well. But I'm going to stick with these machines that are on my cluster here for the time being. And I've got my primary and I've got my two secondaries. Now, I do want to support automatic failover here. So I'm going to suggest that I want to automatically failover to or from the Mia Clust 1 and to or from Mia Clust 2. And as soon as I do that, it automatically suggests, well, you'll need to have synchronous connectivity between these two. So we have synchronous replication appearing between these two in order to support automatic failover. So we're not going to lose any data because all the transactions are committed synchronously across both of the nodes. This third cluster, I'm not going to use that for any sort of automatic failover. So I'm quite happy to have asynchronous replication across to cluster 3. But what I do want to do is I want to support this as a readable secondary. So I'm going to say yes. Now, what that will do is allow users to connect directly to Mia Class 3 and run queries against that sales database. Even though that's not the primary, they can still connect and use it for reporting, and that offloads some of the workload from whichever one is currently the primary. But I'm also, just to make things interesting, for Mia Class 2, I'm going to specify that I want to support read intent only. And what that means is, if I have a client that is able in its connection string to specify, look, I'm intending just to read data, and there's a number of parameters that can be used in connection strings to do that, then when I connect to the data source, I connect to the listener for this this availability group, what's going to happen is, we're saying I'm only going to read, it will be automatically routed to a secondary server that supports read only. So in this case, it would be routed to server 2. Even if server 1 is the primary, it takes that workload off because the client has explicitly said, look, I'm only going to read data, I'm not going to do any updates. So it will be routed across. So we'll see how that works a bit later on, but we'll enable that for that particular node. Okay, so the next thing I want to do is I want to look at some of these other tabs along the top here. There are some endpoints. This is how the nodes in the cluster communicate with one another. So there are some TCP endpoints that they use. And there's an interesting option here for backups. Because I'm using synchronous replication from the primary to the secondary, and vice versa should we have a failover, it doesn't actually matter where I perform a backup from. If I do a database backup, I can do it from the primary or the secondary. So why not do it from the secondary in order to offload the workload on the primary? So we've got this ability to specify which servers I want to use for backups. And I've got a number of different variants and options there of what I can do. And then the final thing I'm going to look at is creating an availability group listener. And this, as I said earlier, is the equivalent of a kind of virtual name on the network that clients can connect to, and then it abstracts the individual nodes. So they don't have to connect specifically to node 1, they just connect to the listener, and then they're directed to whichever node is currently the primary. So we'll create an availability group listener, and we need to give that a DNS name. So I'm going to call it Mia SQL Clust. So I can go ahead and connect to that endpoint listener. The port for that is going to be the regular SQL Server one, so we're going to listen on port 1433. And I'm going to have to add an IP address for this particular listener. So if I click Add, it checks the IP addresses of the existing cluster nodes and finds they're all in the 10.10 address range. So I'm going to specify an IP address range here in that same range. And I'm going to specify 10.10.0.40 as the address range for that. So I've now got a listener that is going to be able to field requests from client applications and then route the request to the appropriate node. So I'll move on to the next step. I'm ready to go and do the synchronization. I could do this later on. I could set up the availability group and then synchronize them later on, but I might as well do it since I'm here. So I need to specify where is the backups, or where are the backups that I need to synchronize. I've only got one, and it's in that data share folder. So we'll go ahead and click Next. And the wizard will do a little bit of checking to make sure that everything is going to be appropriate, and then run through the various checks, and we're ready to go. So let's go ahead and actually do that. Finish synchronizing, and the wizard will go off and configure my availability group for me. So we'll just give it a minute to do that. And so there we have it. Now we've got our availability group configured. The wizard is finished. So I can close out of there. And I can actually see already my Mia SQL AG. And this is the primary node that I'm currently sitting at. And if I expand into that, I can see the available replicas for that availability group. And I can see which databases are actually protected across there. And I can see my availability group listener that's defined in there. So it all shows up here in my Object Explorer. Now, the other thing I can do is I can look at a dashboard for this availability group just by bringing that up in here. And I get all sorts of really useful information that shows me that my the whole availability group is up. The cluster is quite happily running away. We've got our primary here with automatic failover, and it's currently synchronized, as is the secondary. I've also got Mia Class 3, which is synchronizing because it's asynchronous. So it never shows as synchronized. It's always synchronizing asynchronously in the background. And the failover for that one would be manual. So if we get a failure on Class 1, it will automatically fail over to Class 2. But if we have a complete disaster that takes out cluster one and cluster two, I can then still manually fail over to cluster three. So I've got some options there. The failover information at the bottom here, it says that if I fail over between one and two, I should have no data loss because, of course, they're synchronized. The data is consistent. There's potential data loss if I have to manually fail over because, of course, it's asynchronously replaying the transactions. And there's the possibility that we might lose a few seconds of transactions and not quite get a complete recovery. So it really depends on your requirements for complete recovery versus the ability to fail over in the event of a total disaster. Okay, so that's our availability group up and running. We'll return to that shortly and see how that we use it. But let's first of all switch back to the slides. So one of the things I talked about was this notion of active secondary replicas and the idea that I can use my replicas to provide a read-only support for the database and take some of that workload overhead from the primary. So types of connections I could have to that, I could have no connections allowed to the secondary. So in other words, I don't connect to them. I connect to the either the listener or to the primary directly. Or I could have a read intent connection, in which case I connect to the listener. And because I've said I'm intending to read data, it will direct me to a secondary that supports read intent connections. Or I could have any connections. In other words, I could allow clients to connect directly to that node because it's not a shared volume of data. It's not like a failover cluster where only one node is active at a time for that role. What we're saying is that all of these SQL servers are running independently of one another, and I can connect to them just like any other SQL server. And if I've enabled read access to the secondary replica, then I can connect and I can read the database and no problem. But if I try to write, I'll get an error because it will be read-only. So when we connect, we can either connect directly or we can connect using the listener. And if we're going to do that and support read-only routing, we need to actually configure that. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to use Transact SQL to do that in this demo, and we'll see how we do that. So let's go and set up this, and I'm just going to go and open up a script file that I've got prepared, which is in my... there we go. D demo files mod 6. There we go. So I'll just bump this font up a little bit so that you can see what I'm doing and perhaps close some of these windows. So I'm altering my Mia SQL availability group and I'm specifying that for Mia cluster 1, the secondary that we want to use as a secondary read-only server is accessed at this particular location on Mia cluster 1. So if this is in case we have a failover, Mia cluster 1 becomes a secondary. This is the endpoint that we connect to it in order to send read-only requests. So that's for Mia cluster 1. The same idea for Mia cluster 2, the same idea for Mia cluster 3. And then we add lists of secondary servers so that when this one is the primary, it knows which other servers it can use as secondaries. So there's two sort of phases to this. So I'll first of all go and alter the availability groups. And again, that's succeeded. And then I will configure the lists of secondary servers. So if I go and do that, that's completed as well. Now, obviously, I'm just getting a command completed successfully, but I might want to go and have a look and see what the status is. So I can see the various listener states of those endpoints. And I can see the IP addresses that they're listening on. And I can go and have a look at the routing lists as well. And I can see the replica ID, which I could do a lookup, and that would tell me whether that was Mia cluster 1 or Mia cluster 2 or whatever, and what priority that is in terms of using as a secondary. So I've got all of my secondary readers configured, my secondary replicas. What I now need to do is to see what happens when I actually connect to these guys and actually do this. So let's have a go at that. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to go and start a command prompt. And I'll just increase this font a little so that you can see what I'm doing. Just increase the layout as well. So let's go and use, we'll just use SQL command as a simple client-side application to do this type of thing. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to connect to my servers. So we'll do a SQL CMD -E because I want to use a Windows integrated authentication. And I'm going to connect to Mia SQL Clust, which was the listener that I configured. So this is the endpoint that's listening for the whole availability group. Oh, yeah, we needed to actually tell it that was the server, didn't we? So we need a dash S in there as well. There we go. So I'm connected to something. That's pretty good news. So if I say select server name, that will tell me what actual server I'm connected to. And I'm connected to Mia Clust 1 because that's the primary at the moment, and I've connected to the listener, and it says, well, you've connected, you haven't given me any other information, so now you've connected to the server. So I could actually do a select star from sales.orders. And there isn't actually a table called orders, maybe order.
DBO.
Oh, DBO, quite right, yep. DBO. Orders, and I can see the data from that orders table. So I'm able to get in there, and I'd be able to update them as well. So I could do an update sales.dbo.orders set order total equals 100, where order ID equals 1. And that's gone and updated that one row. So I could even do my select again just to verify that that's worked. And sure enough, it's updated it. So it's behaving like a regular database, but I connected to the listener rather than to the specific database. So we'll quit out of there. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to connect, but this time I'm going to connect using an indicator that I want to use a read-only connection. I've got a read-intent connection. So I'm going to say, connect to, use Windows Authentication, connect to Mia SQL Clust. I specifically want to connect to the sales database, and that's important because it's read-only, so I'm specifying this is the database I want to connect to. Otherwise, it will just connect me to the default database, which would be the master database. But the key thing that I want to do is I want to say slash K. And slash K in the SQL command tool is the way that I say this is a read-only connection. And as I say, in a connection string from a client application, you can specify the read intent, and that would do the same thing. So if I do that, oh, it doesn't like that. Oh, yeah, it's actually K read-only, I believe.
That's right.
Yeah, so is it all one word?
Yes. Yeah.
So yeah, there we go, K read-only. So it's selected me up, and I could do a select server name. Nope, put caps lock somewhere along the line. And I'm connected to Mia Clust 2. Even although I specified the same endpoint, I specified the listener, because I've said this is a read intent connection, it says, well, okay, you're not going to be updating data. I'll take the workload off the primary and send you to a secondary. So I could do my select star from dbo.orders. Oh, I could if I could type it properly. Froppum. From dbo.orders. And that works quite happily. So I can read the data, I could use it for reporting. But if I try to update dbo.orders set order total equals 1000, and here's how confident I am, I'm not even going to put a where clause in there, so that would update all of the rows. But actually I get an error that says you can't do that because it's read-only. You specified you wanted a read-only connection, and that's what you're getting. So that's pretty neat. Let's exit out of that. The other thing that I could do, if I don't have client applications that support that connection string, so I don't have client applications that use the latest SQL client, SQL native client, and they're able to specify that they want a read intent connection. So I'm perhaps just using older clients with a regular OLADB or even ODBC or something like that. How do they get read-only access to secondaries? Well, what they can do is I could say SQL CMD, just use my Windows integration connection, but the server this time is going to be Mia Clust 3. So I'm not going through the listener, I'm going directly to the node. And once I'm there, I can say select star from sales.dbo.orders. And because I had configured that secondary to support read connections, I said yes when it asked me, do I want to support read connections? Then again, I can get read-only access to that node, even if I can't express in the connection string that I want to have a read intent connection. So it's pretty flexible in terms of the clients that it will support for offloading the primary. Okay, so let's go back to the slides. I'll just exit out of here for the time being. And let's go and look at the next couple of slides about this. So we've seen that I can use that always-on availability group dashboard to view the status of my always-on availability group, and I can see which node is currently the primary and what the synchronization state is and all that kind of thing. Other things I can do from there, I can view the cluster quorum information. So the cluster is based on a Windows failover cluster, and there are ways that clusters use votes in order to determine whether the cluster has quorum, whether it can still function as a cluster. So I can view that information and configure how cluster measures quorum. I could perform a manual failover using that dashboard. So if I need to failover, perhaps because I want to take one of the servers out to upgrade the hardware or something like that, I could manually failover to a secondary and then do the repairs I need to do. And then in SQL Server Management Studio, leaving aside the dashboard, there's other things I can do there. I can add and remove databases to the availability group. I could add or remove replicas. I can add additional listeners, configure synchronization, pretty much all the standard things you need to do. There are one or two things that you can't do in the user interface that you have to either use Transact SQL or PowerShell. So for example, configuring read-only routing, as I did a few minutes ago, I had to do that with Transact SQL commands. There wasn't an easy way to do that in the UI. So there's a number of kind of steps to managing the availability group. And one of the things is we'll look at what happens with failover. So let's first of all see how we do manual failover, and then we'll see what happens with automatic failover. So let's switch back to the demo machine. And what I'm going to do here is I'm going to bring up my SQL Server Management Studio environment here once again. And at the dashboard, at the top of the dashboard here, I've got this failover wizard option. So we'll go ahead and do this. We'll imagine that we're taking Mia Class 1 out to do some sort of hardware update. So I want to keep the database available. And so what I'll do is I'll go ahead and tell it that I want to fail over. And I get a little warning. If I fail over to Mia Class 3, because that's asynchronous, there's potential data loss. It might not necessarily be completely synchronized at this point. Whereas Mia Class 2 is synchronously connected. So we can say we'll fail over to Mia Class 2. And how do I want to connect to that? Well, I have to explicitly go and connect to Mia Class 2. So we'll just do that. And then I'm ready to go ahead and do my failover. So off we go. Now it'll just take a few minutes to manually failover the availability group so that Mia Class 2 becomes the primary and Mia Class 1 becomes a secondary. So let's go and close out there. And if we just give this a second, it should update automatically. At the moment, it's still saying Mia Class 1 is the primary, Mia Class 2 is the secondary, but it should actually refresh this page in just a second. In fact, I may be able to refresh it manually. Well, rather than wait for it, let's see if we can refresh it. No, clearly that's not how that does that. So take just a minute. Eventually what's going to happen on this page, there we go. So initially we get this little, oh, hang on, something's happened. So we get a little sort of message here. Now it may look like it's taken an awful long time to fail over. Actually the failover's already happened. What's happening is the dashboard's catching up. And I can prove that. If I go and bring up my command prompt here and I tell it that I want to go and connect to Mia Clust, I can do that, it connects immediately. And if I say select server name, I'm actually connected to Mia Class 2. So it's automatically made Mia Class 2 the primary and Mia Class 3 the second, so Mia Class 1 the secondary. If I come back, I can actually see what's happening here. I've got some things here that tell me that Mia Class 2 is now a secondary. And eventually this dashboard will update itself to show me all of the other nodes and show me what's been happening. So it's really just a little delay in the thing getting updated. You can see that MIA class 2 here is now listed as the primary. So manual failover works quite happily. That's pretty neat. And I've been able to connect and see what happens. What happens if I actually failover because something's gone wrong, because there's some disaster? Now, at the moment, MIA class 2 is the primary. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to come down to here. I'm just going to exit out of SQL command. And I'm going to just bring down the instance that's running, bring down the server that's running that's running on MIA class 2. I'm currently connected to MIA class 1, so I'm just going to use this sc command. And I'm going to go to MIA class 2. I'm going to stop the SQL server agent, because that's obviously a dependent service. So we'll get that stopped. And then I'm going to do the same thing, but for the MS SQL Server service. So net stop MS SQL Server. So what I've actually done is I've shut down the SQL Server service on MIA class 2, which was the primary in my availability group. So now I'm going to go and connect to my listener, and it connects. That seems fine. If I do a select server name, it switched back to MIA class 1. So that automatic failover happens. Even though I just tore down the service, and even if I just actually switched that virtual machine off, then it would have figured out something had gone wrong and failed over. And because it was synchronously replicated, I'm not getting any data loss from that either. So let's switch back to here. So hopefully this has been a pretty quick tour of always on availability in SQL Server, and specifically always on availability groups. What we're finding is obviously in large enterprises, clustering is very commonly the way that we protect servers. And even in virtualized environments, you end up with host clusters and guest clusters. So you have the Hyper-V host is clustered, and then within that you might have clustered SQL servers clustered across multiple VMs. But you can actually combine clustering with availability groups, or you can use availability groups on their own. And they're a pretty good solution when you want to do things like have a virtual machine running in Windows Azure as a secondary, just in case you have a complete site failure. There's some pretty neat stuff that you can do with always-on availability groups. So hopefully that session's been pretty useful to you. What do you think?
The thing that blows my mind about watching these demos and seeing how it works is how easy it is to set up. Mm. You didn't have to, not only, all you needed was 3 SQL boxes. You did everything from the management console,
yep.
Set up the immediate replication. We saw that the data was replicated when you did the demos across the read-only server. Simple, easy, quick.
Yep. Yeah, fantastic stuff.
Yeah, it's terrific technology.
All right, so great. We've continued our journey through looking at what's been changing in SQL Server since 2008. One of these topics that's really important, as we said, is high availability. So we've covered that off. The next topic we're going to look at in Module 5, again, is very important to most DBAs, and that's security. So come and join us for Module 5, and we'll show you some of the changes and enhancements that have been made in the space of securing your data.